John chapter number 10, and I want us to look at verse number 19. I'm going to read a few verses, and I want to try to be an encouragement tonight. Sometimes I get so, and I'm, how can I say this? Everybody's a theologian at some way, some point in time. You're either a good one or you're a bad one, you're a mediocre one. Everybody's a theologian. And I've got to be careful because my mind thinks theologically, which I guess as a pastor you're supposed to. Sometimes, though, we need a little bit of encouragement. And I'm going to try to encourage us out of this text tonight. We're going to do a little bit of theology along with it. Because if we have encouragement with bad theology, it's not encouragement. Let that settle in. If it's bad theology, it really shouldn't encourage us at all. But I want to look at verse number 19. And we're going to read a verse or a few verses, a text that is familiar to people who believe that what God does, He does forever. And as you read through this text with me, I want you just to draw comfort out of it. I want us to do that tonight. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a division. John chapter 10, verse number 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these things. Of course, that's referring back to the verses previous. And many of them had said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. So we're switching scenes here. 19, 20, 21 goes with the previous section. Verse number 22 goes with what we're about to read. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. There came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. I'm going to read that again. I told you, and you believed not. So let me just ask you a question before reading further. Whose fault is it? Is it Jesus' fault? No, it sounds like the fault of the folks, of the Jews who are around about him. Can I just go ahead and say, people always say there's no stupid questions. And I understand what people mean, we've got to learn. But there are bad questions. How long dost thou make us to doubt? I'm going to tell you, friend, God's not in the doubting business. God is in the granting faith in what He has said business. And He says in verse 25, I told you. I told you. We could preach an entire series of messages on those three words. I told you. Oh, yes. There are some things God said. And we're either going to believe what He said or we're not going to believe what He said. The key verse in the book of Hebrews is the last verse of chapter 10. We are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but we are them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Two classes of people, those who don't believe and those who do believe. Those folks who draw back to perdition, but those folks who believe to the saving of the soul. There's two groups of people. There are believers and then there's non-believers. And I'm going to go ahead and I know Brother Stanton Blue's in heaven rejoicing around the throne of God, but I'm going to go ahead and give you what Brother Ballou would say. This is for believers only. Amen. Jesus says in verse 25, I told you, and you believe not. Now watch this. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So Jesus, watch this. He has spoken words. He has performed works. You have a twofold witness to who Christ is. And the Jews have the audacity in verse 24, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Folks, I want to say tonight, I want you all to listen to me. I want you all to listen tonight. The time for doubting is in the past. And here's what the devil will do. He will do everything that he can to hinder your Christian life by bringing up an eternal question mark in your life regarding God. Amen. The first words out of the devil's mouth in the Word of God have a question mark. Yea, hath God said? The devil is in the business of questioning the Word of God. So you go ahead and mark her down, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's in the halls of academia, whether it's in the political scene, whether it's in Washington, D.C., or here at the State House in Indianapolis. I want to go and tell you, anyone who questions the Word of God, you go ahead and mark her down. Now, I'm not talking about a genuine understanding of, Lord, help me to understand, but someone who is brash enough and bold enough to bold-face question, not ask a question, but to question what God has said, you know which team they're on. Go ahead and say amen. Nod your little pointed head, as Brother Jonathan Hall used to say. Nod your little pointed head. Oh, yeah. Amen. I don't know anyone who has a little pointed head, but I'm just telling you, go ahead. You can shake your nod. That's right. So if Jesus has given words and he has given works, performed works, that is a twofold witness. Folks here are not believing. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you. They don't believe because they don't belong to God. Listen to me. This is for believers only. And what we're about to read ought to be an anchor in the time of trouble for our souls. Miss Dixie quoted it tonight, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And the next phrase says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah there's everlasting strength." Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. I wonder what perfect peace means. Now, I wonder what that means. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Either God's right or he's not right. And Romans 3 says, "Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." So what are we going to do? We're either going to believe what God has said, or we're not going to believe what he said. That's it. That's it. Look at verse number 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." We ought to stop right there, call a 20-second timeout, and shout all the way around the building. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." I want to tell you something, friend. You ever heard the voice of God? Have you ever heard God speak to you? You know what it's like when the Holy Ghost of God begins to move in your heart, move in your soul, and draws you. Miss Dixie said it again tonight. You just have to be there to experience it. Unless you've heard the voice of God, you have no idea what I'm talking about tonight. But I want to tell you, friend, when the voice of God begins to speak, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank God he can go ahead and speak to us, whether the noise outside is very loud and the voices you hear from the press are keeping you away from hearing him, or whether he speaks in a still small voice, you ought to be able to hear him. My dad's been gone 20 years. I guarantee you, if he were to walk into this building tonight and say my name, I'd know who it was. Nobody else would recognize that voice, but this old boy would. Oh, yes. Friend, when God speaks, you ought to be grateful that God's speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking at a group of people. There's a good number of y'all who've heard his voice. There are some folks here, I wonder if you've ever heard his voice. Have you heard his voice? Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. You're not going to hear an audible voice, man. But you're going to hear a voice louder than that when he speaks to your heart. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's good, preacher. It gets better. Look at verse 27. "And I know them." Amen. It's one thing to know the Lord, but oh, thank God that he knows us. Amen. You're looking at an old boy right here tonight who will never hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Amen. "My sheep hear my voice." And watch verse 27, "and they follow me." they follow me. What do sheep do? They follow the shepherd. Goats don't want to do that necessarily. Now, you'll understand, I haven't kept any goats, but I know there's a lot of problems with that. What's the problem with goats? Problem is the goat's butt. Amen. I follow Jesus and I love Jesus, but well, I've got a family member who does X, Y, and Z, and I know Jesus says this, but the problem with goats is the but. I'm going to tell you tonight, you're either on the Lord's side or you're not on the Lord's side. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not on the Lord's side. Amen. And Jesus is making a definite distinction here. And I want us to know something here tonight. I want you to look with me. If you look in verse number 24, Jesus is in Solomon's porch. It's the Feast of the Dedication. It's winter. And of course, this goes back, and it's amazing. This goes back to the time we've already talked about whenever Antiochus offered the swine on the altar in 167 B.C. We said that. And when the Maccabean revolt took place and cleansing of the temple took place in 164, that's where we get the Feast of Hanukkah, however you want to spell it or however you want to pronounce it. There it is. You get that. This is the time frame. So they're lighting the lamps in the temple there. And so it's during that time period. So there's light burning in the temple, and they're asking the light of the world, are you really the Christ or not? Tell us plainly. Don't make us to doubt. You have a group of people who are haughty. You have a group of people who will not humble themselves. You have a group of people who are placing themselves up in a place of authority, just like the mainstream news media, who will say things and demand things and ask leading questions to convey their own particular agenda. And here you have these, you know, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Well, let me go ahead and tell you, sir and ma'am, of course this would have been the men doing the talking at this point in time, you're asking a bad question. You're asking a bad question because you don't want the answer. You've already seen the works. You've already heard the words. You don't want the answer because it means something's going to have to change in your life. A lot of people aren't interested in that. They're not interested in a Lord. I mean, trying to get women to call their husbands Lord, you might as well go ahead and try to climb to the moon on a rope of sand. All jokes aside, I won't call him Lord. I wouldn't call him Lord. Well, honey, you probably shouldn't have married him then. Well, I'm not going to obey my husband, woman in my family. I told my husband I married him. The only two people I obey is God and my daddy. Well, I'm going to go and tell you, ma'am, if you obey God, you're going to obey your husband. That's good preaching, preacher. Kick that dog, shake that tree. Amen, amen. Run it. Run it all the way home. Amen, that's right. Hey, man. And I obey my daddy. Well, honey, the Bible tells us that when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, that they too shall be one flesh. You're not joining to your daddy, you're joined to your husband. Therefore, your head is changed. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. I don't know where that came from. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Now, so these folks are asking a bad question. But here's what Jesus does. He says in verse number 26, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Here's what Jesus does. The Jews come through and they accuse him of holding them in suspense. Waiting on the final act, the final work, the big unveiling, because who are they expecting? They're expecting a political leader. They're expecting a military leader to overthrow the Romans, unite the Jews, make them the head and not the tail, go back to the days of David and Solomon where the kingdom was great and they were the envy of everybody in the world, and to have the riches of Solomon and, you know, a flagon of wine, a good piece of flesh, and all those things that were distributed during the times of the days of David and Solomon. They were looking for somebody like that. But here's what Jesus said. I want you to look at verse 27 again. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Verse 26, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. They were not God's children, although they were the children of Abraham. Let me read you a couple of verses tonight. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says this, not as though the word of God hath taken an effect. This is Romans 9, 6 and 7 if you're writing references. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Paul makes a distinction between a spiritual heritage from a physical lineage. And he says this, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Take that and show that to John Hagee and tell him that not all Jews are saved because they're children of Abraham. Amen, preacher. That's right. I'll never have an international ministry like that. I won't have a big cornerstone church wherever he is somewhere down in Texas and have, you know, tens of thousands of people listening to me. But brother, what I'm going to tell you tonight is going to be the truth here. Just because a person's born a child of Abraham does not mean they automatically go to heaven when they die. The reason they were not God's children is they did not believe. They did not believe. So I want you to look here tonight because I want to. We may get into a little bit of theology here tonight, but I just want to comfort us for a little while this evening. I mean, my notes are all theological, so the comfort's going to have to come from the Holy Ghost. He's going to have to help us, amen. But I want you to look in verse number 28. The Bible says this, and I give unto them. Now, who are the them? The sheep. That's exactly right. The sheep, the subject here, eternal life. Watch this. And they shall never perish. How about we call a 30-second timeout and shout around the building? I wonder what never perish means. I just wonder. I'm just a dumb old country boy from the hills of East Tennessee. Amen. I'd be more comfortable in a pair of bib overalls than I would be in a coat and tie. Somebody say amen right there. Amen, that's right. Amen. 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 I don't mind a little classical music. I don't mind classical music at all. I think it's very beautiful. It's nice. Mozart and Bach and all the rest of them. But brother, every so often I feel a need for Briscoe Darling. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Y'all can smile real big. Amen. And I said all that to say this. There's not a whole lot of smarts that I have, but when I look at this text, I see that Jesus says that his sheep will never perish. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you one of his sheep? Have you been born again by the grace of God? Have you been saved? And I will say to you now, if you have been saved by the grace of God, Jesus says he has given to you eternal life. Friend, 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, you will continue not just to exist, you will live in the presence of God because life himself gave you his life. He laid down his life for you that you might have eternal life, and friend, you will have it forever and ever. Amen. Oh, yes. It does not matter what goes on in our nation, what goes on in the world, what goes on in the public health crisis that currently seems to be capturing the minds and hearts of so many people. The political situation that's going on in our nation right now, I want to submit to you that 10,000 years from now, all of this won't even be a memory. In fact, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and we will continue to live with Jesus throughout all of eternity. If God has given to you eternal life, if he has. Now, I want to just look here for a minute, and I want to just take a moment, and I want us to describe the characteristics of God's sheep just for a minute. Characteristics of God's sheep, or God's people. First of all, God's people in our text here are described as sheep. Other places, God's people are a building. In other places, they're a holy generation, a priesthood, all those things. We're looking tonight at this particular picture of God's people as them being sheep. And so I want us to consider that tonight just for a minute. Notice what sheep do. Again, I want you to look at verse 27. My sheep hear what? My voice. Now, why is he continually talking about sheep in this text? Why is he doing that? Why is he talking about that? Here's what I want you to do. You're in verse number 26, 27, but you may be able to just look even across the page in verse 11, because here's what Jesus says in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. The good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. So we talk about the characteristics of the sheep here. We can talk about how they obtained the identification as sheep. How did they do that? We'll say they're God's sheep. First thing I see here tonight is that I see that the sheep have been purchased. And when I mean that tonight, I mean that the Bible tells us in verse 11 that the good shepherd, watch this, gave his life for the sheep. They're purchased. He laid his life down. Amen. Something had to be done to cause the sheep to go from one fold to the next. Because all of us were children of the devil. Some of you folks in the building tonight, you're still children of the devil. You've never been turned loose from the chains and bondage of sin. Amen. The sheep are purchased. I want to say tonight, watch this, the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Not only were they purchased, I want to say this, the sheep are precious. I'm looking at a group of folks tonight who are precious in God's sight. Psalm 116 tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Folks are precious in God's sight. You're here tonight, you're saved, you're precious in God's sight. You ought to let that encourage you whenever you leave the building tonight and head to the house. Tomorrow when you go to work, you think about what God's done and who you are, what your place is in life. Remember that God has laid his life down for you in the person of Christ. You're purchased and you're precious. Amen. And as we look here tonight, they are a particular people. Now what do I mean by that? Look at the look at these things. Yeah, I don't even know what word I'm looking for. Like I said, I need them bib overalls. Amen. I'm in a Briscoe Darling mood tonight. We're not in a real big fancy. When I talk about a particular people, they have some particular behaviors. Look what sheep do. Watch this. My sheep hear my voice. First thing I want us to see tonight, number one, they're described as sheep. But number two, what do the sheep do? They hear God's voice. Listen to me tonight. If you're old enough to be saved, you're old enough to be spiritual. Now, I understand that some people do not grow as much as other folks do, and growth is not as quickly as others. But I want to say something tonight. If Jesus can speak to your heart to pull your soul out of the path of going to hell, and if he does that, whether you're 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 16, 18 year old, whatever the age may be, if you can hear his voice, then I want to submit to you tonight that he can direct your path with that same voice. Well, preacher, I just don't know, bro. I just don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Have you asked him, first of all? Have you opened his word to figure out, well, there's some things that you don't even have to pray about. Watch me here. Watch me. You ready? Things you don't have to pray about. You don't have to pray about whether or not I need to go to the world. Amen. Amen. You don't have to pray or not whether or not you need to smoke, drink, chew, and all that. You don't have to pray about any of that stuff. All that stuff that the world does. You don't even have to pray about that. Amen. You don't have to pray about what crowd to run with, because the Bible tells us the kind of crowd we need to run with. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that we're not to run with certain people. Certain crowds of folks we don't need to run with. The Bible tells us that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Therefore, I don't go after the world's fashions. I don't go after the world's values. I don't go after the world's philosophies. All those things, I don't need any of that stuff. I don't need any of it at all. Listen to me. God can tell you very plainly from his word. Say, well, preacher, I just don't understand it. And I'm praying about it, I ain't hearing nothing from God. Well, maybe there's some things you're praying about you don't even need to pray about. Watch me. I'm not gonna go base jumping. I'm not gonna climb up a hill or go up to a mountaintop 6,000 feet in the air and then just walk off. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I don't have to pray about that. Amen. I'm not going to be one of these fellows climb up, you know, 600, 800, 900 feet onto a building and take a selfie with a selfie stick and it's nothing but, you know, 600 feet between me. I don't have to pray about that. That's not the will of God for my life. Oh, yes. Amen right there. I don't like heights, and I'm just glad when the Lord comes back, get on that white horse and I'm coming back, I won't have to worry about that. I'll be in a glorified body. Amen. That horse ain't going to let me fall off. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. Some things I don't have to pray about. There's some things you don't have to pray about either. There's some things you don't have to pray about. If the Bible is against it, amen, the Bible says it's wrong, you don't have to pray about whether or not you need to do it. It's automatically wrong. If the Bible says it's right to do, as far as your daily living, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4, that you should abstain from fornication, etc. You don't even have to pray about that because that's the will of God. We don't have to pray about that. We know what God says, what God wants. And so here's what I'm saying tonight. The sheep hear God's voice. Hey, do you hear His voice tonight? Do you hear His voice? Are you listening to His voice? I'm concerned because there are so many things I just don't... There are some folks I see no fruit from. I see no desire for God. I see no desire to get closer to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. You know these little children, they grow. Little children grow. It's natural for them to grow. And little children who do not grow have some type of medical condition that keeps them from growing. So I just want to ask you tonight, are you growing? There are some folks here, they're not growing. Every so often, I know that, look, not everybody's like me. I know I can get in a big way. I try. You know, I don't walk on bench tops no more because I got bad ankles. Amen. I just don't do those type of things. But every so often, there ought to be one of these come out from somebody. Amen. There may even be some of this come from somebody. Amen. There ought to be some of this from folks. There ought to be. You mean to tell me that God's done something for you and you can't shed a tear over that? Something's not right about that. Amen. God's sheep hear His voice. And if God's sheep hear His voice, that's one of the characteristics of that group of folks. Christ knows them. Watch this. My sheep hear my voice. And He says this, and I know them. That means Jesus knows exactly who you are. Friend, He has got you. He's got your number on speed dial. He knows your home address. Amen. Amen, that's right. When He pulls up His text messages, your name pops up. Jesus, you say, preacher, Jesus doesn't text. Look in your lap. Amen. Amen. God's sheep hear His voice. They're known of Christ. And look at verse number 27. They follow me. Who are you following tonight? If you have a political figure of any party that you would love to see and do whatever you could to get to that person, to see that person, to shake hands with that person, and it's, you know, church isn't that big of an... I know y'all here on Sunday night. We got some folks here on who are watching online, some folks who can't be here. But I just want to say this, that if you hold a political figure higher than you hold Jesus, you have a serious issue. You have a serious problem. Amen. Doesn't matter who it is. Oh, here we go. Hey, you got a religious figure you hold any higher than Jesus, you got a serious problem. Amen. Amen. Well, I just come to church because I don't want the pastor to yell at me. Well, the pastor's not going to yell at you. He's going to preach to you. But the Lord knows whether or not you're here. Amen. Well, Jesus understands. Well, maybe He doesn't. Maybe He's already told you to be here. Told you to do something. Amen. I am being sweet. I really am. I know you don't know that, but I am being sweet. But watch this. They follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. One of the greatest assurances of salvation is there is a desire not only to hear what God has said, but to do what He said. Sometimes it's hard. There are some things that are hard. I'm not going to deny that. Anybody who says, well, that's an easy thing to do, following God's an easy thing to do. Well, if you don't mind pain, suffering, agony, persecution, mocking, jeering, and all those type of things, hey, it's just as easy to do as all you want. Amen. Amen. That's right. You can still die for a martyr today. All you got to do is hop on a plane, head toward Saudi Arabia, head toward Mecca, and get up and say, Muhammad is a false prophet. I don't give you much time to live after that. I really don't. Amen. By the way, Muhammad is a false prophet. Amen. So, if God's people hear His voice, they're known of Christ, they follow Christ, and then look at verse number 20, and I give unto them, watch this, eternal life. Glory to God. Glory to God. God has given to His people eternal life. He doesn't give that to those folks who are in rebellion, who are in the world, who are doing their own thing. God gives to His sheep, His people, eternal life. Amen. The Bible teaches eternal life. I wanted to preach on eternal life tonight, the doctrine of eternal life. Can you lose your salvation? I'm not even touching that area tonight. What we're looking at tonight is this. Jesus gives to His sheep eternal life. A billion years from now, you will be in the presence of God if you're saved tonight. Amen. You'll be in His presence. Amen. God will wipe all tears away from their eyes. No more sorrow nor crying. All the former things are passed away. No more death. Amen. Amen. What a blessing that is. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will him take the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They have eternal life. So I will submit to you tonight, if God's sheep hear Christ's voice, God knows who they are, they follow Christ, they have eternal life. Now watch this. Two of those are evidences of salvation on your part. That's the hearing the voice and the following Christ. You just take it by faith that you're known of Christ, and that Christ has given to you eternal life. But I want to submit to you tonight that those folks who do not hear the voice of Christ, don't follow Christ, Christ doesn't know them and they don't have eternal life. What is true for the believer, what is true for the sheep, the opposite is true for the ones who reject Jesus. And I want you to see what Jesus is doing, because this is really interesting. Look at verse 24 again. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. You see that? I told you. And you believe not. Anytime you see a why, personal pronoun in the King James Bible, it's between one person and another person. It's second person between me and you. Okay? Right here. No, I said that wrong, didn't I? I said that wrong. Speaking to a group of people who are plural. Right there is what I should have said. That's what. Lord help me here tonight. Anytime you see thee and thou, it's individual. Right here. You see ye and you, it's plural. That's what I meant to say. Sorry about that. But the point remains this. My sheep hear my voice. Verse 27, watch this. And I know them. I told you, you believe not. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. These people are not these people. These people are not sheep. These people are. You see the difference? It's interesting to note that Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. He makes a big distinction between the people who are questioning Him in an unbelieving manner and His sheep who hear His voice. So I just want to encourage you. And in fact, there's so much more I could give here. So much more. I mean, I've got tons of stuff I could give to you. We can even talk about the whole idea of eternal life. We can talk about the idea of whether or not a person can lose salvation. But I want you to look in verse number 28. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. We see the bestowing of the gift. I give unto them eternal life. We see the declaration concerning that gift, they shall never perish. Amen. We see the security of that gift, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want to encourage you tonight, in the face of everything that's going off, the only voice you need to hear is the voice of Jesus. That's the only voice you need to hear. I am sick and tired of the mainstream media. Put any three letters you want to talk about it. Sick and tired of hearing what's going on. I'm tired of it. And the Bible tells us about the Antichrist, he'll wear out the saints. Well, I'm going to tell you, this saint is wore out with all the bad stuff on the news. Sick and tired of it. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear His voice. We need to hear what God says. The only thing that's going to matter is what we read in that book. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But what did Jesus say? But my words, they're not going to pass away. They're going to be here forever. So I just want to be an encouragement tonight that God gives to His sheep, Christ gives to His sheep, what kind of life? Eternal life. They shall never perish. Never perish. So if you are one of His sheep tonight, you've heard the voice of God. I understand sometimes we don't always obey like we should. I understand. But what is the general pattern of your life? Is it one of bucking against God? Is it one of pulling back? Is it one of just doing your own thing? Or is it a humble submission to what God has said? Which is it? The difference, or how you answer that question tonight, will tell me, tell you, whether or not you're a sheep, or for lack of a better term, a goat. Amen. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, 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 bah. Amen. Amen. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, 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 bah. Just want to be a sheep. Bah, 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 bah. Amen. The kids are not looking at me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, 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 bah. Amen. Yeah, it's all right. Y'all go ahead. Amen. 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 Be the right kind of sheep. Amen. Amen. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Go home tonight, and even if you do watch a news broadcast to see how bad things are, pillow your head tonight knowing that you'll never perish. Amen. Heard a preacher one time said it wouldn't make any difference to me if the nuclear missile hits him in the back pocket. He's going to be a Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank God He gives to His sheep eternal life. Lord, we pray You'd bless tonight. So much here in this text. And Lord, while we want to have good theology, we want to have good life-ology, put it into practice, I guess, praxis, practicology, whatever it's called. We want to have a life that is lived that would show that we believe Your truth. Lord, we don't want to have a haughty heart like these Jews had, asking a really bad question with a wrong attitude and in an accusatory fashion. But Lord, we sure want to have a heart and a life that is honoring to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help every heart in the building tonight, every person who's listening by way of the live stream. Lord, I want to ask that You'd bless our people, Lord, here, every one of them. Lord, there are many folks in our church, Lord, no doubt saved by the grace of God. Hear the voice of God. They are Your sheep. And Lord, maybe we have some here. I'm sure whether it's tonight, whether it's on Sunday morning, many folks who hear, but folks who don't follow. And Lord, the evidence that You've given in Your word here tonight, You said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I know sometimes, Lord, you've got to get our attention, Lord, and direct us back, refocus us, align us right. Sometimes we get out of alignment, Lord, and you've got to, Lord, put us up on the rack and adjust us a little bit before you can put us down and send us on out. But I pray, Lord, that you'd help every one of us in the building tonight to examine ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of folks here tonight who are not saved. God, I'm asking that you'd save folks who are deceived, folks who are sinners and don't even realize it. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd do a work that I can't do. None of us in this building can do, but only you can do. Father, keep us safe as we leave this place tonight. Give us a good night's rest. Pray you'd bless the day tomorrow. Pray you'd bless the preacher's fellowship tomorrow. We ask God that you'd be glorified in all that's done and make your presence real tomorrow, I pray. Bless Brother Price, Brother Phipps, Brother Morris, Brother Elam. Pray, God, that you would just give them the message that's a help, Lord, what needs to be preached. And we will ask you, Lord, just to do a work in that this evening. Please be glorified, Lord, even tonight, and go ahead and move in their heart and direct them where they need to be, Lord, to help us out. Lord, for all you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the promises. Thank you, Lord, for the evidences of salvation, the evidences of faith. Help us, Lord, to live it out as you'd be pleased in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our